You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who appreciates a nice hot meal at a fair price, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, hey, Wisconsin. How you doing out there, everybody? Great to have you with me on this Tuesday night version of Nightlight. Very different than the rest of the days of the week. What we do here Tuesday is special here at Nightlight just because Tuesday needs more of an identity. We have to make Tuesday stand out. And that's what I'm going to try to do tonight. I want to have such a good show, and I want to interact with you guys so much that you cannot wait for Tuesdays. Is that possible, Conrad?
It definitely is, yeah.
Why not? I mean, what are we doing here? We got to try. It's like Eddie said in Eddie and the Cruisers. If we can't be great, there's no point in making music ever again.
Okay. All right.
I recommend it. It's a crackling good watch. I haven't seen it in 30 years, but Eddie and the Cruisers. It is great to have you with me here tonight on Tuesday, wherever you're joining us from in the state. Welcome, welcome. You can check us out. If you have not downloaded the Civic Media app, you absolutely have to, folks. It's the best way to get all your Civic Media shows all on one little device. It's easy to contact the shows. There's a little text icon. You can text us tonight at 855-752-4842. Or you can watch us on the stream. How do people watch the radio, Conrad?
Yeah, so we're on Facebook, WGBW or Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Give us a like on Facebook.
We'd love it.
YouTube, Civic Media, or WGBW. And on Twitter, yes, Twitter, Civic Media, WGBW.
Well said. I like that. I can't do X. I cannot do X. I can't do the drug. I can't do the social media site. I'm not a drug guy.
Way to go.
Do you do drugs, Conrad? Are you a big drug guy?
No, definitely not.
It's not like I'm going to give you a drug test here. This is Nightlight. We could be a little more laid back here. You could be open and honest. Yeah, it's never been my thing. But so join us on Twitter, not X, and don't do X. That's the message of tonight's show. We like to start every Tuesday show with a message, which sets us apart from the rest of the week. We don't care what you do. But it is great to have you here. We have a great show planned for tonight. It is White Guy Movie Talk Night. And when I say white guy, I mean me and Conrad and Rob Thomas and Ben Reiser. It just worked out that way, folks. We're not going for a theme. But I have two really fun guests tonight, good friends of mine, both movie buffs. Rob Thomas is going to kick things off at 6:35. We're going to talk about movies. He's seen a couple good ones he's going to recommend. And I saw something in CityCast Madison, of which he is the editor, Spooky Things to Do in Madison this year. So we'll talk to Rob about that as well. And then Ben Reiser joins the show at 7:20. It seems like we always have been on at 7:20. Does that sound familiar or am I just...
No, it sounds familiar.
Ben's a night owl. He can handle it. So Ben will be here at 7:20. Ben saw The Joker, Folie au Deux. That means part two. I believe in Francais. That's as bilingual as I get, sadly. Why don't I know another language? I come from a good home. My parents should have pushed that more. I took 2 years of French, and I love the French language. And I took 2 years of French. I liked it so much, even though people would say, oh, no, take Spanish. Trust me. In 20 years, Pete, Spanish, you're going to wish you took. And I do. I wish I played the piano, and I wish I spoke Spanish. But I just, I don't know. Do you speak a different language?
I took German.
Okay.
I got halfway through and I said, this is difficult. This is going to hurt my GPA.
So you quit?
Yes, I got out of it.
How do you say quitter in German?
I have no idea.
German would be cool. It's not the most, beautiful language, I guess.
It's very difficult, especially that first class. They always say that's really hard. Once you get to learn the basics, it's easier to do other things in it.
But
it was so hard to just. I got so lost in the first week. It's so hard to get lost in the first week, but I did.
Oh, that's a good sign to drop the class. I'd like to take Algebra 101. I really wish I spoke Spanish. My cousin Dan has lived in Madrid for 35 years now. And he speaks, obviously he's fluent in Spanish. And he, when I hear him talk on his Facebook posts, it's like, wow, this guy was born and raised not too far from where I was. And now he speaks, because it sounds so cool when it's fluent, you know, like French. But when you're trying to stumble your way through it, it's not very sexy. So it sounds like what I'm saying is it's good that you quit German. That was my roundabout way. So Ben will be here at 7:20. I don't know if Ben speaks any other languages, but I know he speaks movie. So we're going to talk about Joker Part 2. He has seen it. I have not. Critics are hammering this film. Audiences are hammering this film. In two of the trade papers I read out of Hollywood, audiences were leaving because they didn't know what the heck was going on. Now, that doesn't mean en masse, but a few people were walking out, probably because they were confused. Ben liked it. So I love it. I cannot wait to hear what he has to say about it. I got to be honest, a lot of my friends did not like the first Joker. I did. I thought it was weird and different and frenetic and just, I really enjoyed it. So we'll talk about that too. So I've got movies to talk about with Rob, movies to talk about with Ben. Always want to know what you guys have to say about whatever you're watching. Feel free to share it. Scary movies, we'll touch on those too. If you have a scary movie you've been recommending or that you watch every year, I'd love to know what it is. You can let us know that at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And Conrad watched something we're going to talk about in just a minute. But first, I want to say I saw this. Google asks the question. This is their feel-good story of the day. Google's top Is It Weird questions of 2024 are all about doing stuff solo. The full story, it says, you've got to get out there and live your life. So nothing is weird when you do it by yourself. Except number two, which I will get to. So number one, the question is it weird to go to a bar alone? Conrad?
I say yes, but that's just a personal preference.
I think if I were your age, I'd feel that way too. I think I remember feeling like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd just rather stay at home and do what I could at a bar for free.
Yeah, or for much cheaper, for sure.
Yeah.
But you're not going to meet anybody at home. You're not going to talk to anybody. Yeah. I guess that's why people go. I would have no problem. Like, I take a trip to Madison just about once a month to do some PBS work. And I used to go into a bar just to be around people and get a really well-made cocktail. So I've got no problem going to a bar alone. Number two, is it weird to talk to yourself?
No, I'd say that's pretty normal.
Think so?
But
probably depends on what you're saying.
I like how it says, in public at full volume.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That is a little weird, though.
But I used to see people, like, when I worked in downtown Chicago, I would see people sitting by themselves in a bar or a restaurant, moving their lips and having a conversation. And I thought they were crazy. But then I thought, they're probably rehearsing a speech or, like, going in for a job. Like, you don't know what.
Yeah.
I don't think that's that weird. Unless the guy was, like, not wearing pants and dirty or something, I would think, okay, this guy's probably just going over something. Number three, is it weird to go to a concert alone?
Yeah, I'd say yes. Well, no, I don't know. I'm in between on that one.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with it now. And they say on Google says, go for it. Maybe you'll meet people with shared interests. Okay, that's fair. I get it. It might not be as fun to be jumping around by yourself. Number four, is it weird to go to the movies alone? They say now that there's so much to stream, it might be less common, but plenty of people still do it. Yeah. I love going to the movies alone.
Yeah, I'd say the same. It's, you know, if you have people with who might not get into the movie as much as you, they might start talking next to you and you're like,
right,
can it?
Yeah, totally. I like, if it's a comedy or a fun action film, I'd probably rather be with someone. But yeah, sometimes there's a movie I know I'm going to like it and I want to go by myself to enjoy it. Number five, is it weird to eat alone at a restaurant? Google says no, but there's a stigma because restaurants are kind of set up for people to eat together. So it feels weird just sit at the bar. I've done both. I don't care. I mean, I really honestly don't care. Like if the restaurant doesn't make a big deal about it and come and take all the other table settings away and I'm not yeah, sitting at a big table, I'm fine with it, right?
Yeah, I went to Punta Cana with my family once, and there was one, I just wanted to go to this restaurant they had by myself. And they actually had a table where it's just one setting and one chair.
Oh.
And I thought,
set up for that.
Yeah, I was like, that's awesome. Yeah, okay. But yeah, like you said, if they have like a table for four, you're and they alone. Clear it, it's yeah, just you.
We got a loner over here. Save the utensils. I remember Michael Keaton was on Letterman, and he used to say when he knew he had to eat alone, he would always bring a book with him or a script so people didn't think he was a loser. Just give me anything. I'm working here. Like, he's really just alone. So that's our question tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and I would love to hear from you and see what you think. What are you too embarrassed to do alone, if anything? What are you too embarrassed to do alone? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Swingers Club. I don't like to go to a swingers club alone. It's just something I get embarrassed. People look down on me for not bringing a date. Most people are laughing at that, but there's some people driving around going, yeah, loser, you're not coming to my party. The library. I have to have a date. I can't go into the library without a date. I always bring a date to the library.
Interesting.
Yes. Or a bake sale. I'm no loser.
I mentioned this before the show. I said, grocery store.
Yeah.
You prefer to do that alone.
Absolutely.
And when I used to go with my roommate when we were in college, he would take longer than me, and I'd be sitting in the car with all my groceries for like 20 minutes.
I can't even shop with my wife because she goes through the grocery store like she's going to see something she's never seen before. She's browsing and takes her time, and I respect that, but I can't do it. I'm a mission guy. I got my list. I'm butting in front of old people to get to the checkout. No, but you ever do that? Like you see someone headed towards the checkout, and you know it's going to be a nightmare. They're going to have a check, coupons. They're going to want lottery tickets and cigarettes or whatever it is. And I bust a move to get in front of them. I don't feel bad about
you
that.
You got to.
You got to. All right. Rob Thomas is here at 6:35. And Ben Reiser at 7:20 is movie talk tonight on Nightlight. And when we come back, I don't know. Let's surprise people. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Catch a grenade for ya. Throw my hand on a blade for ya. I jump in front of a train for ya.
That's Bruno Mars. Our guy Bruno is 34 today? Is that right? No, that doesn't sound right.
I feel like he's older than
I wrote this down. Where is this? Yeah, Bruno Mars is 39. Okay.
39.
I like him. I don't have anything by him. I don't seek it out, but I remember he played the Super Bowl. I thought he was really entertaining. And his songs have kind of a nice, I like him. I'm open to owning some Bruno Mars. Are you not a fan?
Oh, I loved Bruno Mars growing up.
Okay.
I don't really listen
not anymore
that much anymore, but yeah, okay. I definitely liked it when I was growing up.
That's fair. So, all right, we got, let's read some text here. Our question tonight is, what are you too embarrassed to do alone? I say go to a swingers club. Horribly humiliating when you can't find a date. Conrad says the grocery store. You like the grocery store.
Yeah, that alone. I will do alone.
Okay.
I will say I'll probably go with the bar right now. Yeah.
All right.
Or a nightclub. A nightclub.
See, a bar is okay. A dance club is a different story.
Yeah.
You go to a dance club by yourself and you're just kind of hanging on the periphery.
I'll say that.
You look like some kind of weird predator, you know? Yeah, that's bad. But a bar, sitting there watching, you know, the Bucks or something, that's acceptable. Sherry checks in from the 920. Sherry from Horicon, as we know her. Good evening, Pete and Conrad. Good evening, Sherry. Nice to have you with us, as always. It's not an episode of Nightlight without Sherry. Sherry says, I'll teach you piano. Yes, I forgot. See, the problem, Sherry, is that's a commute. Because where I live, I'd have to get a hotel room for my piano lesson. That could get pricey. I appreciate that, though. I would love to learn piano. If Sherry could teach me piano and Spanish, that would totally be worth the commute. Paula, Conrad's mom. Good to have Conrad's mom back. She says, Conrad was also learning sign language in college. Is that true?
I did 3 years of it.
Whoa.
Well, actually, 3 semesters.
Okay. So you must know the basics?
I'll say you don't practice it for a while, you will forget. I remember the alphabet now. That's about it.
Okay. That seems like it would be very difficult to learn.
It is. It is very difficult to learn. I'd say the first class is very easy because they give you interpreter.
Okay.
After that, they don't.
Really? So if you had to have a conversation with someone through sign language, what language could you do that?
I mean, it was pretty tough doing it, but they'd give you time to look up things if you needed to. Because that's how I did all my quizzes and my exams, is doing
like
that.
Open book or?
No, oh. It was not open book. You just had to remember it.
I think I would end up shouting really loud, hoping they could hear rather than try to convey what I was trying to say through.
It's a silent class.
Why, I would imagine. Did you learn that? Were you just curious, or did you know someone that you wanted to communicate with?
So for journalism, my major, that was 3 semesters of a language I had to do.
Okay.
And if I did any other language, it was 4.
So you took the easy way out.
But it actually turned out to be pretty hard. So
yeah, it sounds like it.
It was fun to learn, though. Say that.
I love that your mom is here with these details that you may or may not want her to share. Paula, feel free to share anything about Conrad. Put him on the spot. Come on. Aunt Carla checks in and says, the Krieger family in Baraboo. 5 listening tonight. We all agree we are not afraid of doing anything alone. Seriously. The Kriegers are a very confident people. That's what I've learned.
Yes.
They don't care. That's awesome, Carla. Thank you. Sherry from Horicon says, right. Smiley faces. Italian. Oh, Sherry could teach me Italian? Well, what's that going to set me back, Sherry? That's what I want. That's another language I would love to know how to speak.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't seem practical, you know. Annie from Watertown says, going to the funeral home thing. I'll go to the church funeral service alone, but going to the visitation, usually the night before, is too weird. That's interesting. I could totally see that. I've done that just because, you know, sometimes you want to, this is going to sound insensitive, but you want to pay your respects, but if it's someone you didn't know that well, but you want to go, I'll go alone if it's like early, just so I can talk to everybody right away and pay my respects. But if you're waiting in a line for like two, like if it's a very popular person or someone very involved in the community that passed away, you can wait in line for well over an hour sometimes. And that's not fun to do alone. You run out of idle chit chat with other people pretty quick. That's a great one, Annie. So this was interesting too. I saw this, the candy list. Did you see what the number one candy for Halloween is in Wisconsin?
Yeah, and I mean, that's my favorite candy, so.
Butterfinger?
Yeah, it is my
favorite.
Really?
I did not know that about you.
It's between the Take 5 and Butterfinger.
See, and you've said Take 5.
Yep.
Okay. It's not like I hate Butterfinger, but there are so many better candies than Butterfingers.
The one on this list, I don't know if you're going to go down it. I could wait if you want to go down it.
No, go ahead.
Number 6. Number 1 in Minnesota,
Hot
New Mexico.
Tamales.
Yeah, that. Have you tried those?
Yeah.
I don't like them.
I don't either. I can't imagine. Number 1 in Minnesota, North Dakota, and New Mexico. I mean, tamales come from Mexico. I guess I could see New Mexico, as Homer would say. But yeah, that's a weird one. Starburst, Indiana and Michigan, the number 1 candy. Skittles, number 1 in Alabama.
I don't agree with the candy corn one.
Yeah, candy corn is strange. Maryland and Utah.
Yeah.
I don't get that at all. This has to be, what's scientific data? You know what? I got a bone to pick with Todd. I don't agree. I think he made this up. M&M's, number one in California, Iowa, Kansas, North Carolina, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Vermont, Washington State, and Washington, D.C. I mean, I thought Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, it said that is usually the champ of Halloween candy and candy in general. But not this year. It's number two. And in Wisconsin, it's Butterfinger. What do you think of that, folks?
You know what I think is an underrated one? Reese's Pieces.
It doesn't do it for me.
You don't like them? Honest.
No, not as much as M&M's. I think the peanut butter gets compromised by the candy. If I could just, I have a very sophisticated palate.
That was actually like my movie go-to candy.
Yeah, I don't dislike Reese's Pieces. They're fine, but I wouldn't put them up there. So we share Butterfinger with Arkansas, Massachusetts, Oklahoma, South Carolina, and Virginia. Okay, fair enough. All right, good stuff. Let us know what you are too embarrassed to do alone, folks. That's tonight's question, 855-752-4842. Rob Thomas from CityCast Madison and Madison Film Critic will be here next. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Conrad's mom followed up with another text. Not just outing Conrad for taking the easy way out in college, but she says, I would rather not go to a wedding by myself. Yeah, that's a big one too. Although you could meet someone there. But that would be kind of not a good move by your dad to let your mom go to a wedding by herself.
Yeah.
People might think she's in play. Speaking of your dad, Conrad's dad says, hello, Pete and son Conrad. One thing I don't do is drink alone. I got to tell you, Steve, when I was drinking, I didn't mind that so much. It kind of helps cure being alone sometimes. But I understand that. It's fun to tip one back with someone.
That kind of sounds with a little depressing.
What, drinking alone?
The way you said it.
No, that's how you combat loneliness. You drink yourself into oblivion. It's common knowledge. It's a known fact, as some of my friends used to say. All right. It is time for the movie talk, ladies and gentlemen. One of our frequent flyer guests and favorite guests, Rob Thomas, joins us now. He is the editor of CityCast Madison and a Madison-based film critic. And if you haven't checked out CityCast Madison, I highly recommend it. It's a great publication, and Rob does great work there now, like he did at the Capital Times when he was there. He just does great work. Rob, welcome.
Thank you, Pete. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks. Thanks for being with us.
You bet.
Every once in a while.
I'll drink with you.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Is there something you're too embarrassed to do alone, Rob?
You know, if I eat alone at a restaurant, I can eat at the bar.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I could get a table, like right in the middle of the restaurant. Have you ever seen the movie?
The Lonely Guy.
With Steve Martin.
And Charles Grodin, yes.
Oh, fantastic.
It's so great. I think, you know, it was a great movie, but I think a lot of those stigmatism, I think it's okay now, though, to do those things, right?
It's all in the mind, I think. Like I actually really enjoy going to movies and concerts by myself because it's like, I don't have the burden of hoping that the other person is going to like the band or the movie as well. I can just go and enjoy it.
Right.
I think it's always healthy to do stuff on your own, travel on your own. You know, if you want to do it, go do it. Don't
Absolutely.
Wait for somebody else to come with you. Yeah.
When you are reviewing movies or music or whatever, is it easier for you to do that alone? Or like, could you take your kids and your wife to a movie that you were going to review?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Yeah. We went last night to a movie. And I mean, yeah. I mean, they probably just roll their eyes when The Notebook comes out. Guys, I'm working. Pass the popcorn.
Yeah. Pass the goobers. That's great. What did you see, Rob?
So I went to the Marcus Mystery Movie. Have you ever done this?
No.
I highly recommend this. So AMC has their Screen Unseen. Marcus Theaters now has the Mystery Movie. It's usually a Monday night. Oh, for nice. $5, you go and you have no idea what the movie is. And usually I can guess. I have a pretty good guess what it is. But last night, not only was my guess wrong, I had never heard of the movie before. I was like, what is this? And it was a documentary called Blink about this family, French Canadian family with four kids, three of which were going blind because of a rare genetic disorder.
Oh, wow.
So the parents decided we're going to take them on a year-long trip around the world so they can see as much as they can see, you know, before they lose their vision. It's really good. Yeah, and it's not, you know, it's touching, but it's not too sad. It sort of mixes, you know, has a lot of things to say about parenting. Definitely about, you know, you want to give your kids as much as you can and then, you know, let them go forth. And I think it's in theaters on Friday. And it's going to be on Disney Plus pretty soon.
Nice.
But it was good. And it was so fun to just like, I was there with both my daughters and it was so fun to just be like, I don't know what this is. Like, I don't know what's happening. So it's a very fun and cheap way to go see a movie.
And what's the event called that Marcus does? I thought you were going to go.
Marcus calls it the Marcus Mystery Movie.
Oh.
And they'll tell you what the rating is.
Okay.
And then AMC has one also Mondays called AMC Screen Unscreen. It's usually like one Monday a month, maybe two Mondays a month they do it. It's pretty great.
I love that. That's So the mystery movie is just they don't tell you what they're going to play, basically.
Exactly. Okay. It's not a mystery.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll add that to the list. I don't know which Blink it is. There are two Blinks that came out in 2024, according to Rotten Tomatoes, and they both review well, so I guess you can't go wrong. that's great. So what do you think? I have to ask you something, Rob. I had a critic on the show last night, and I feel like, and maybe I've asked you this before, it seems like the bigger movies, the big studio films, do not get panned the way they used to. Even though some of them suck, I cannot figure this out. And I want to ask you, because you're not afraid to pull punches. You know, I've seen you, you know, review films and say you didn't like them. But sometimes you go to Rotten Tomatoes and either the reviews are skewed or they could be taken either way. So I'm wondering, have you noticed this? Like, I there are some really bad movies that critics to me used to be a lot tougher. And I'm more forgiving of independent films, but if I see a movie that costs $200 million, that better be a great movie.
Yeah, I don't know. The thing about Rotten Tomatoes is there are so many critics that they sort of pull together to get that rotten or fresh rating. And some of them are maybe more forgiving than others. So I usually go on, you can click on top critics to kind of look at the best ones, see what they say.
Okay.
But like, I don't know, there's been a couple lately, like the new Joker movie and the Francis Ford Coppola movie, Megalopolis. Am I saying that right?
Megalopolis.
That have just been ripped by critics. Like I haven't seen either one, but it kind of makes me interested, especially Megalopolis, because people are saying it's just a disaster. and the other thing I would say is it's hard to make like a bad looking movie now because there's so much money spent on like computer effects and you know sets. Like you knew a bad movie was like a bad looking movie too, like 20 years ago. Like you could see it coming, like though this is going to be pretty awful, but even like a low budget movie can look pretty good and kind of fool you into thinking it's better than it is until you're like, wait a minute, this is not good. This is, you know, this is like a student film with like a little more money behind it. So I wonder if that's the issue sometimes. Yeah,
I wonder. I mean, I remember seeing Rocky and I thought this doesn't look great. Like it was kind of dark at times and maybe that's the look they were going for, like in The Godfather or something. But this critic I had on last night, Mariah Gates, said that she feels like sometimes the bigger, if you have a big publication behind you, New York Times, LA Times, Variety, whatever, you can still be sort of unbiased and go into it like that. But she felt like a lot of the smaller critics don't want to lose access or don't want to lose their passes or access to these movies because that affects their livelihood. And I thought that was interesting and sort of validated how I had felt. And
that's
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm just jaded. I don't know.
That has happened. I know critics, some studios have punished critics by pulling them.
Right.
Screenings, you know, if they said something they didn't like. The thing is now there's just so much out there that I guess I guess if you're the kind of critic who wants to review all the big movies, then it's more important to you. I mean, you shouldn't obviously color your opinion because of that. Like, it doesn't that doesn't matter to me that much. I'm looking for what's interesting. And there's just so much out there that I don't really, you know, that I don't get to go see Joker 2. I think I'll sleep at night. Okay. So.
Since you brought up Coppola and Megalopolis, I still want to see it. Like, you know, Ben Reiser, I think, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Ben is on After You, and he said he was going to go see it, but a friend of his says it's a disaster. That kind of makes me want to see it even more. I'm just curious as to what a disaster for Francis Ford Coppola looks like. Like, I know this was a passion project of his, 40 years in the making, which is weird because how come he couldn't get it made 30 years ago, you know? But I do want to see it. But I did read this week, Rob, that Rumblefish is Francis Ford Coppola's favorite movie that he's made. And after I read that, I watched it two nights ago just out of curiosity. Have you seen the film or do you remember it?
That is... So I'm confusing that with The Outsiders. That was him too, right?
Yes, and Rumblefish.
It's a similar movie, but more artsy, like black and white.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if I ever saw that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting. It had kind of a cool look, but sometimes, like with Essie Hinton, like what she was able to do at such a young age is amazing. But when I watch it now, I still feel like it's a movie written by a teenager, if that makes sense. Right. Even though it looked really cool, you know.
Well, so. I think sometimes directors are the worst judges of their own material. I mean, he made The Godfather and Godfather 2 and Apocalypse Now and The Conversation. I mean, his 70s movies are incredible.
Right.
Like, they're the best, you know. So I don't know. I mean, he may not be able to be separating the movie from the experience of making the movie. Like, there's a whole documentary about how what a horrible time he had making Apocalypse Now with Marlon Brando and Dennis Hopper and
Martin Sheen had a heart attack. He was so stressed out. Yeah.
Yeah. That was not the worst thing. That was not the worst thing that happened. Yeah. So maybe that's it. Yeah. But yeah, for his Megalopolis, like, it's such a big swing. Like, he put in $120 million of his own money.
Yeah. I heard
That makes me curious, right? Like, even if it's bad, like, it's going to be bad in a way that no other movie, it's a bad in a different way than the sixth Transformer movie is bad, right?
Right, exactly. My guest is Rob Thomas. He is the editor of CityCast Madison. Check it out. Rob, give us a plug for CityCast Madison. I went there today and it was so informative and such a fun.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, it's really
It's like two pieces. So I'm the newsletter editor of this daily newsletter that you can go to the website or sign up, kind of like my Substack, and get it in your inbox every morning. And then there's also a daily podcast, which my colleagues put together every day, very similar on what's going on in Madison. And it's really fun. I've been there 6 weeks now, and it's a really, I'm just having a great time writing a lot about a lot of different things. I did a thing in today's newsletter about, like, cool Halloween things going on around town, and it's been really fun. Yeah,
I meant to actually kind of lead with that. So why don't we? Do you want to talk about that and then come back to movies?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's do that. So it says best spooky stuff to do in Madison. What did you find? What can you recommend?
Well, the one thing I did not find much of is haunted houses. Like, there's the one in the Dells. But aren't there usually, like, you know, like, somebody out in a farm puts together a freaky haunted house and charges 10 bucks? Like, I couldn't find any of those this year. They must be out there. I just haven't found them. yeah, there's all these different things going on. There's, like, a couple of dance parties where people can go. Like, you remember, I'm sure, Freak Fest took over State Street in Madison for years and years. Sometimes, sometimes authorized, sometimes very unauthorized. And so that's gone, but there's a big dance party at the Orpheum called what's it called? I can't remember now.
Murder at the Dance Floor.
That's it. That's it. Yeah. So that will sort of take its place. It's like a big dance party. But there's also, like, the Haunted Hustle, like a 5K run, because we're all into fitness here. There's, like, these tours they do at night on the Capitol where they'll take you around and tell you ghost stories about all the locations, and, you know, the accuracy may be up and down, but certainly interesting. Sure. And, There's just, yeah, it's funny how Halloween is now a month long thing, at least. Really, like everybody for the whole month, I think. The movie theaters are bringing back classic horror movies for the full month, and it's pretty fun.
It's funny. I can't figure out, like, a lot of holidays are like that now, especially Christmas, Halloween. Are our lives that boring that we need to elongate these holidays? Like, honestly, I mean,
I think so.
It's like, and when you used to go to church and say the days of ordinary time, apparently we're done with those and we have to celebrate all month long. But I want to ask you about Mary Shelley's Frankenstein on stage. That looks really cool. We'll discuss that coming up next with Rob Thomas. He is the newsletter editor for CityCast Madison. Definitely check it out. And he is a very renowned Madison film critic. We love talking to him here at Nightlight. This is Peach Wobble. We'll be right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Well, there's this thing called love, and it's everywhere. As she told me, it can break your heart out. Since I met this little woman, I feel it's happened to me. And I'm telling you, it's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in love. It's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in love. I found myself owning her at least 10.
You seen her dressed in blue?
We are back. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday night here in the beautiful state of Wisconsin. A gorgeous fall night pretty much all over the state. And we will, let's get a weather update from Madison right now from our guest, Rob Thomas. He is here with us, as he is so often, a film critic from Madison. And we're enjoying talking to Rob here. Is it beautiful there, Rob?
It's dark.
Yeah.
But it's nice. We've had like the best summer in September and October.
Isn't it crazy?
Remember how rainy it was in like June? It's very strange.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was gorgeous today. And yeah.
So we were talking about, well, I was at CityCast. It's madison.citycast.fm, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have one of the things you report on is called It's Alive, It's Alive. The art collective Manual Cinema mixes shadow puppets, live music, and immersive sound to tell the story of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein on stage at the Wisconsin Union Theater, October 17th. I love stuff like that.
Doesn't that sound cool?
It sounds like, really cool.
Yeah, it's like a Chicago art collective. I think there's a trailer online. And so it's kind of like, yeah, like I wrote, like a mix of like silent film and live performance, and there's a live band playing. I think it sounds cool. Like,
yeah.
Of all the things I wrote about, aside from maybe the movies, because I wrote about some of the horror movies coming, that's something that seems something I'd like to do, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. The other one you have here also has a tie to Chicago, and I've heard about this lore. It says here, a real life ghost story. Madison author Mike Bass will present his chilling and gorgeous, nice book on folk horror, frightful folklore of North America this Thursday at A Room of One's Own bookstore. Where is that, Rob? Is that the one on stage?
That's in Madison. No, it was downtown. It moved to the east side.
Okay.
I think it's on Atwood.
Okay.
Fantastic bookstore. And yeah, this book is gorgeous. It's like a hardcover, and it's got all these woodcut illustrations, and it's like all these local folklore ghost stories from all over the country. So there's something like about a ghost moose in Maine.
Yeah,
and
what the heck is that?
I think it's something like man bats in New Mexico, and then Resurrection Mary in Chicago, which I remember hearing about.
Same.
When I lived there in my 20s, that like you drove by this certain cemetery, I think it was on the south side.
Yeah, it's like off Cermak or something.
Yeah,
that people could see her walking or something like that.
Right, or she's like waiting for to be picked up or something,
so
like
creepy.
By her date and something. And then if you look at her, she might appear in the passenger seat. That's how I remember it being told to me.
Oh, my
cool.
gosh.
But I love stuff like that.
Yeah, you know? Same. Like, yeah. And that was a weird one because so many different people reported seeing her. I remember that was the one that I thought, you know, if I was going to believe something, it would be that because people just, you know, and maybe it became kind of a tall tale, but initially so many people I remember reading saw her. You know, it's just crazy.
Right. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to think about. Yeah.
Yeah, and then here's another one. U.S. Ghost Adventures will take the supernaturally curious on a tour of Madison's haunted hotspots. This sounds fun, with hour-long tours nightly that tell the secret spooky stories of the city's downtown. Are there a lot of haunted places in downtown Madison?
I don't know. I was kind of curious to take the tour. I mean, yeah. I heard tales of, like, in the Capitol that, like, a construction worker died. During when they're building the dome. I mean, I don't know how much stock to put in these things, but they're more sure. fun just for think about, well, aside the fact that the guy died, if it was true. But, you know, it's kind of, the ghost stories are fun.
Yeah. There's
a couple other places they mentioned, like Winona Terrace had something, or,
not really.
I don't know. I mean, it's an old, you know, a lot of old buildings, a lot of stories, who knows, right?
So, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a good one. I like, both of those sound great, and the Frankenstein one does too. So if you're in the Madison area, check this out. It's all available at madison.citycast.fm. Rob is the newsletter editor and does a great job there. Well, do you have a film, Rob, around this time of year you like to watch, or several with the family, by yourself, that just kind of get you creeped out?
I don't know. I always remember, I highly recommend watching The Sixth Sense with your kids. If they don't know the twist, that was one of the great movie experiences, was watching that and then watching my daughter when the twist happened and seeing it hit her face. Right. So I always, that's a great movie on its own, but yeah. that is a great experience. I have a lot of blank spots in my horror movie watching. I had to admit to my boss yesterday, I've never seen the original Halloween, which it should be a crime.
Oh, okay.
But I need to, I would love to watch that. So that maybe that's the one I need to catch up on this October.
I could use a rewatch on that one too. Just because, you know, I think as you get older too, so many of the movies kind of blend together. You can't remember. It's that way with me with Star Wars. I can't remember if this was the one-off or this was Acolyte or if I saw this in 1979. It's just like they all, and my son will look at me and go, "Dad, really? That's Phantom Menace." I'm like, I don't know. Like, I can't keep them straight, you know? Did you see Barbarian? I probably asked you this before.
I didn't know. I heard that was really good. Did you see that?
I did. It was. It was scary, but it had a weird twist in the middle of it where they take you out of the story and bring in another layer. It's so much fun. And I don't typically watch those movies, but since I've been doing this show, I've been trying to keep up more with that stuff. And I did watch it, and I would recommend it. It was very creepy and weird. So
I'll give it a shot for sure. Right.
Can you stick around for a few minutes, Rob?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, cool. We have Civic Media award-winning news coming your way right now, and then I will continue discussing movies. Rob's got a couple good ones he recommends on his Substack, so we'll go over that too after the news. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday night on the Civic Media Radio Network. All around, like the sunset going down.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.